following audio is from St. Nick's Durham. As a church, we exist to love God, love people, and love Durham. We hope that this sermon will serve you well as a supplement to your regular Bible reading, prayer, and participation in your local church. For more information about St. Nick's Durham, directions or resources, please visit stnicks.org.uk.
The reading comes from Mark chapter 1, page 1003 in the Church Bible, and reading from verses 29 to 45. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking out for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I come, why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for you for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we pray? Lord, may I speak and may we all hear. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Page 1002 of the Bible, Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning, Mark says, of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Mark couldn't be clearer as he sets out his stall and declares who it is that he is writing about. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. The Son of God. Yes, a prophet. Yes, a wise rabbi. A charismatic teacher. Yes, an itinerant healer, but he is the Son of God. And for Mark, nothing else comes close really than this statement. His job as an evangelist and writer is to tell us, to inform the world of who this Jesus truly is, the Son of God. But you ask, what sort of son? You've met different sorts of sons in your time. Is this one to be arrogant, self-centered, opinionated, puffed with pride and self-importance, like the son perhaps of a Roman emperor? A Roman emperor god, maybe. Cruel, vicious, only focused on what they can get out of life and how to maintain the power and status of a tyrant. Is this the sort of Son of God we meet in Mark's Gospel? Or rather, does Mark paint a different picture, a different sort of son? Perhaps it starts in a typical way. A prophet speaks of this son who is coming, fulfilling Old Testament prophecy, baptized with the voice of the Father in heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." He's sent to be tempted in the desert, to develop stamina and resilience for what lies ahead. But what sort of son is he, and will he become? He announces a mission in this first chapter, as we've been hearing the last 2 weeks, calling people to repent and to come into the new kingdom. And as we heard from Colin last week, he calls people to follow him wherever he goes as his disciples. But what sort of son and what sort of kingdom? Political, military, or what? If he is to be the king of the kingdom, then this son, what's the kingdom to be like? He preaches in the synagogue at Capernaum. He triggers a reaction from one man in the congregation. "We know who you are, Jesus," he cries out, "and we don't like it. Have you come to destroy us? You are the Holy One of God." And Jesus perceives in this an impure spirit, which he commands to be silent, exorcises the man, and he is freed, and everyone is amazed. So that is where we've got to as we get to verse 29. It's the back story. It's what's happened already. It's what Mark wants to tell us about this Son of God. The scene is set. A man of authority, a man of power, but how will he exercise the power he has? Always that question for leaders, for tyrants, for prime ministers and presidents and queens and kings. How will I exercise? How will I use the power and authority that I've got for good, for myself, or for ill and not for others? So he goes from the synagogue where he's had this exciting moment of exorcism and shouting out and all sorts of things going on, to the mother-in-law of Simon's house in Capernaum. So we learn something about Simon. He had a mother-in-law, which means he must have been married, at least was married or had been married. And he goes there, and they find her in bed with a fever, we're told. So I think she must have been quite ill, for that sort of person wouldn't just take to their bed for no good reason, I think. A woman of the house where Jesus is staying. A bad case of flu, maybe. Or some other infectious disease, with or without a rash. I leave you to ponder the diagnosis of Mark. He's not really bothered, is he, about the diagnosis. What he worries about is what's going to happen. Jesus takes her by the hand. Always risky, by the way, with someone with a fever. And helps her up. Presumably she wants to be helped up. And the next thing we know, she's back in the kitchen and serving them all. So maybe a good reason to heal somebody on the Sabbath if you want a decent supper. But I digress. But then we go on to hear of what happens next in verse 32. The sun sets, the day, if you like, the Sabbath day is over. And then people start coming to the house. People are brought to Jesus. Those who are ill, those with demon possession. In fact, the whole town, or rather this rather large village of Capernaum, gathers at the door. And we read that Jesus heals many of their various diseases and drives out many demons, forbidding them to speak, just as he's forbade the first demon, because they know who he is. So immediately we hear that Jesus moves from the individual the mother-in-law of Simon, to many. His ministry is not stopped for the one, but for the many. And no doubt by the end of the evening, he's pretty tired out. It's been an exciting and full sort of day. So this Son of God seems, at this point, to be one who cares, who has compassion, who heals and releases people. Even though it stretches him and makes him worn out, he brings healing and wholeness to many. The whole town seeks him out, and it seems he turns no one away. But by verse 35, when everyone's gone to bed and gone to sleep, we find that Jesus has already departed before they have a chance to wake up. It's still early in the morning, it's still dark, and Jesus has gone while everyone else is sleeping. He leaves Capernaum without a word, doesn't even thank the mother-in-law of Simon for her hospitality or for her supper. He has gone. And so when the disciples wake, they're somewhat confused, no doubt irritated and probably cross with this man who has now disappeared. Where is he? They ask. In verse 36, we find that Jesus has gone to a solitary place, a place of quietness, perhaps of isolation, a place in which he can pray. No doubt process what's happened the day before, all that's happened in that day in the synagogue and in the house of the mother-in-law of Simon. And as he communes with his Father in heaven, he is refreshed, no doubt, and refocused on what lies ahead for today. In verse 37, when they find him eventually, Simon and his friends, they say, "Everyone is looking for you. Don't you know there's more to do? In fact, we've booked a full morning surgery for you, and they're waiting at the gate. They're waiting for you in Capernaum. They're queuing down the road. Come on back with me," says Simon. But Jesus says, "No, this is not the plan for the Son, this Son of God. There are other people in other places that need his ministry. His mission is bigger and broader than they can imagine. So he says, let us go elsewhere, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there. That, he says, Jesus says, is why I have come." So Simon, with the other lads from Capernaum, can't control or contain this son, or his message or his works. And we hear how he goes throughout Galilee, quote, "preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons," followed by this band of followers. So we get more of a feeling of what this sonship looks like. One that is familiar to us, of course, but perhaps should not be assumed. Yes, we know loved and valued by his Father, tempted but resilient, calling others to follow, caring and compassionate, healing and making others whole, unwilling to be contained or controlled, a free spirit, if you like, who goes out in his mission to save and to heal. But we can't have assumed it. It's the gift of God to us, this type of sonship. And then in verse 40, the third section of our reading, the first one about the house and the healings, the second, the prayer and the mission to preach. And now here we find him meeting another individual in verse 40. A man with leprosy comes, it says in Mark, to Jesus, begging on his knees, "If you are willing," this man says, "you can make me clean." And if you look to the bottom of the page, you see a little footnote to this verse 40, telling us the Greek word for leprosy was used for various sorts of skin disorders, diseases. But let's assume he has leprosy, that well-known infection of bacterium, Mycobacterium leprae. It's a very nasty disease. It's contagious, and it can destroy the body, and no doubt the soul, if it goes deep enough to bring someone down. There were strict rules about keeping away from such people. You might catch it. That's not good news. So what does this son do? He touches the man. "Be clean," he says, And immediately we read the leprosy, that horrible skin disease, leaves the man and he is cleansed. But we're told in verse 41 that Jesus was indignant. Indignant. He was cross. He was upset. There is an alternative reading that says he had compassion on the man, which no doubt he had, but I think the word indignant is actually quite helpful. Was he indignant because he was disturbed in his ministry, asked to do something he didn't want to do? Or rather, was he indignant at the disease itself and the effect that it had on this man? And I believe it's the latter. Jesus sees a man in deep distress, isolated, rejected by society because of this illness and rash. And he's indignant that such a thing should happen in God's world. And moved by that, he makes him immediately clean. He touches him and he is healed. Elsewhere we read that the demons are just told to go away. The power of the voice of Jesus commands them. And they leave and told to be silent. But wherever we see this physical ailment, this ailment more of the body, it's the touch of Jesus that provokes the healing. The man's also told to be silent. Don't go and tell anyone you're better other than the priest, because that's what the law demands. And he can sign you off and say you're better. But don't tell anybody else. But of course, he doesn't stay silent. And Jesus must leave because he's becoming overwhelmed by the needs and the requests of the people. Whole books have been written on why Jesus tells people to be silent in Mark's Gospel. Now is not the time to discover the messianic secret for another day. So we're going back to my original question. What sort of God, what sort of Son of God is this? One who is out for himself, interested in power and manipulation, interested in tyranny, or one who cares for others, who communes with his Father in prayer, who can't be contained by others as he looks to seek the lost and the broken beyond his immediate family and friends and neighbourhood? Truly, in Bonhoeffer's words, he is the man for others. So how do we respond to such a son and such an example to us? We're asked to follow him last week, to follow this son. What would it look like? For some, of course, it seemed to be a particular calling and vocation, maybe to go into a particular profession or way of living as a carer, as a technical worker, as a nurse or teacher, maybe to go to a far-flung place, maybe to join the leprosy mission. That's something we could support. But equally, we're called to be the follower here, here and now. And to follow this son in the way that the son is the son. To be those caring people with compassion for those on our doorstep, literally on our doorstep for some of us. To offer hope and healing. And notice our Healing on the Streets initiative just beginning. To pray for that and maybe to be part of it and to see God at work here in the city of Durham. And then to find that place to commune with the Father, that quiet place, that place where God and you and me individually, we find ourselves confronting the Son and the Father and the Spirit and asking for their help, the Trinity's help, as we live each day and as we pray for others. And finally, not just to stay here within our own little contained community. Jesus must have been quite tempted to stay in Capernaum. Well, he's got his friends, he's got Simon's mother-in-law and her cooking, and all sorts of things. A nice place to maybe be less relaxed and rested after all the efforts, just to stay in a nice, safe place. And yet he knows he's called beyond the safe and the contained and the easy, to go outside the comfort zone, if you like, of that mission and ministry. So again, as Colin reminded us, we are those called to follow Jesus. He is our example. He is our hope, and he is our calling. What sort of son to follow? Well, Mark tells us, doesn't he? A son to discover as we journey, a son who cares, a son who communes with his father, a son who cannot be contained. May we be like him, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. Nick's Durham podcast. If you would like to hear more sermons and teaching like this, then subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about St. Nick's, visit our website at stnicks.org.uk.